Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. A couple verses, one of them in a previous translation. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. He said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." In verse 15, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" Nifty older translation. So the vineyard. I went through, I don't know how many years in my ministry before seeing a TV show that completely changed my understanding of the parable. It was on PBS. It was about a vineyard in Oregon. See, the owner of that vineyard was raising grapes that were a bit specialty in their nature, and they would bring top dollar for the wine that was made from them. But with those specialty grapes, he had to be very vigilant. He would go out as the harvest approached, morning after morning, and then as it got closer, multiple times in a day. And we'd go out and taste some of the grapes. And the thing was, when the grapes were absolutely to perfection, the entire crop had to be harvested that day. You wait one day and the value drops a lot. So on that one day, when the time was absolutely right, he had to send out for laborers for his vineyard. And if they're going along and they're not getting the harvest in, he's got to get more, and then more, and then more. And you kind of see the pattern in the parable of the owner of the vineyard, the master going out third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour, 11th hour. He's got to get that crop in. If it doesn't come in that day, there's huge losses for him. It's the urgency of the harvest. So, that one day, no second chances, crossing over, when this life is over, we cannot say to God, "Let me go back and have a do-over." No. One day. And that's judgment day. One of the interesting details in the parable is that the harvest is bigger, it is greater, it is huge, bigger than the owner anticipated, and he has to get as many workers as possible so that none of the harvest is wasted. In the parable, the owner is God. The workers are you and me. The vineyard is God's kingdom and harvest in this world. And what God has in mind is gathering as many souls as possible into having eternal life with Jesus. That is his kingdom and his harvest. And when the time comes, it's the joy of the harvest. And the more people you get sharing in the joy of the harvest, well, that goes without saying. The denarius is the day's wage. It's the reward that Jesus gives to his people. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." And then there's eternal life and heaven and all those other things. But there's some things lurking here. The wages. No matter how you try and spin it and say it in a variety of different ways, the whole idea of, well, 10% more of eternal life, That's just sad and ridiculous. It is an all or nothing thing. All who believe in Jesus Christ receive that same reward. And with the workers, well, the ones who started first, they start complaining. You have made them equal to us. And exactly what is wrong with that? But actually, he didn't. Did you notice that detail? As the foreman lined them up from the last to the first, why? Because he knows and recognizes what each one has done. He worked hard on his own vineyard. Those who shared in the labor get recognized. The parable was spoken to those who thought that by doing more work they could earn a higher place in the mansions of heaven. What, more rooms? Nicer carpeting? What? Exactly what? And it's not only the Pharisees, there's also Peter who says, we left everything to follow you. What then do we get? Keep on looking at that for a while, and you know what the objection boils down to? Just one thing. One thing. You know, if we'd known it was going to be like this, we would have sloughed off for 11 hours and worked only the one. Do you want to follow that trail? In terms of wages, if we got our proper rewards from God, see where that trail's leading? We don't want to go there. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Aha, now we're talking grace. That kind of sneaks up in the parable, doesn't it? But there's more things lurking besides the wages. Because part of the lesson actually is that figuring the kingdom of God in terms of wages might just actually miss the point completely. There are only two ways of reacting to the owner of the vineyard. Either you go, why don't I get more than him? I worked harder, longer, during the heat of the day. Or, well, yes, the harvest is worth it. Because you know what the harvest is. The metaphors are really mixed here. Did I mention sometime before that, well, many people say a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, that actually a parable is a thing that starts out as an earthly story and runs completely off the rails, and where it leaves the earthly story model, that's where you get some really cool insights. See the workers in the vineyard bringing in the harvest. But what is the harvest? The harvest is more workers in the vineyard. What? Now that mixes the metaphor, doesn't it? Are grapes people and people grapes? Okay. the harvest is worth it. If he is generous and gives an equal measure of eternal life to those who come in at the end of their life, well, actually, that's really worth it. It's a matter of grace and me getting to see grace not only in my life, but in others' lives. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And when that grace increases the harvest and increases the workers in the harvest field and increases those sharing in the joy of the harvest, it's a beautiful thing. Besides the wages, there are other parts. These other things that have to do with walking with God. They're worth it. To be known individually by God and loved by God. Psalm 16. Different parts. Verse 2, I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord, I have no good besides you." Verses 5 and following, little clips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. To share with God in the joy of the harvest when Jesus returns and we get to look all around us and see the countless multitude of those who share in eternal life and share in that joy with Jesus who wanted us to belong in eternal life. How sweet. To share with God, the joy that God has. I can't think of anything better. And my mind then turns to Old Testament people. Abraham, called by God to go and follow God to a land that God would show him and God would bless him. And so Abraham goes and has to wait year after year, decade after decade. When's the promise coming? When is that promise coming? And it's not until he's almost 100 years old that he begins to see the promise. And then God says to him, Abraham, take this son of yours, this son, this only son whom you love. Hint, hint. Who's that a picture of? Take him to a mountain that I will show you and sacrifice him there. Abraham goes. 3 days to get there. How far of a journey was it actually? He may be going very, very slowly. But he gets there and they're up on the mountain and he builds the altar and takes the knife to sacrifice his son. And God says, no more, not one step further. Only one father is allowed to sacrifice his son on this mountain. And that's not you, Abraham. That's me. And out of all of that, what Abraham gets is he knows something about deep inside the heart of God the Father. Is that worth it? And then there's Moses, told to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt, and after they're out on the journey and they get to the mountain of God, and Moses is up on the mountain talking with God, and God's writing out the Ten Commandments. Down at the bottom of the mountain. They're on the plain. The people of Israel are busy forming a golden calf so they can worship it. And when everything hits, then Moses has to go back up the mountain and stand before God and plead for the forgiveness of the people and say, if you will, forgive. But if not, blot me out from your book that you have written. Moses gets to understand something deep in the heart, deep in the experience of the one who would stand before his father and be willing to be blotted out. He actually was forsaken for our sake. What is it worth to walk with God and to know God in that way, to have the relationship be something more than, oh, daily wages? The something more being the walking with. And in the sharing of the burden of the day and the heat of what it is to be faithful, then comes the sharing and the joy and the sweetness of what it means to belong to God. Is that worth it? In Jesus' name, amen.